This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, we're going to take a little break from the markets this week. And just a quick note, no big changes in the stock market levels we've been watching, and the Dow theory is still bearish. So today we're going to shift our focus to an area people are making a lot of money in. And there's an environmental component to it as well, the world of resale. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. As mentioned, we are talking about the rise of resale. Let's bring on Chicago-based business writer Jennifer Waters. She covers retail and commercial real estate. Jennifer, great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, Andy. Great to be here.
All right, before we get started, full disclosure, I'm waist deep in the resale game. It's a big part of what I do outside of work. And we're going to hit on all of it today. We'll talk about the platforms, Poshmark, my favorite, but also Depop, Mercari, eBay. We're going to talk about the cores, and we'll get into that, and how people are turning the clothing in their closet into cash. So Jennifer, let's start right there. Talk about the rise of resale.
Well, you know, they'll say that there's most of it has to do with the fact that really, it's really being driven by a younger generation, you know, what Gen Y, even Gen Z, you know, even some of the millennials as well, too. And it's really being driven by them and their hopes of more sustainable types of products, going using products like that, buying things that are helping the earth and such. And so that's kind of where this started. I mean, these resale businesses go back hundreds of years. I mean, this is like, you know, vintage clothing stores and Goodwill and those kinds of things. Now they just kind of dress them up a little bit. They have obviously a much broader array of things. And when they're doing it online, it's not, you know, it's not you're walking into a store and looking at things, you're buying it online. And so I think, you know, that has really this whole movement towards sustainability and a younger generation, combined with the fact, too, right now, Andy, that we've got inflation going on in a big way. And so we're seeing higher prices on everything, and clothing is among them. So if you can get a gently used secondhand shirt of a designer you like, or even just, you know, a maker you like, a Zara or something, and you can get that for a half of the price that you'd get at the store, and you still have what you want, and you're just not paying out for it.
Yeah, it's like the consignment shops, the Goodwill, the resale shops of the past. You only had so many customers that would come in. Well, now with these platforms, your marketplace, you're basically selling to the world, or at least, you know, the United States on Poshmark, but some of these, even some of these other platforms, it is international. So it's interesting how it's made that jump. And the platforms are a lot easier to use now. That plays into it. You mentioned sustainability. Also, just finding particular fashions that you like, that, you know, maybe your favorite shirt or sweatshirt, your favorite sweatshirt that you've had for years, you got a stain on it. Well, you can go to one of these platforms, even though that particular sweatshirt hasn't been sold in a store for 3-4 years. It's a good chance somebody else out there has it and may have it up for sale. So there's a lot of different things that are driving this. You talk about also younger folks who kind of started this off. I think a big part of this are the Kors. And I want you to explain that real quick. I mean, we go from, you know, dark academia, light academia, granny core, gorp core,
Barbie core,
one of my favorites, cottage core. And, you know, we're throwing out these cores. Explain what that is real quick. These are aesthetics. For instance, I'll let you take off with it. What is cottage core? Cottage core is an aesthetic that celebrates that simple living, that English countryside feel, and the clothes that someone would wear. That's just an example of cottage core. You mentioned Barbie core. Go ahead, take off from there, Jennifer.
And Barbie core, and the aesthetic can go from, you say, like a lifestyle aesthetic to like a Barbie core is really a pink aesthetic. I mean, it's really all about Barbie dressing in pink and all, you know, and what you can get. So that's, you know, they go. The broad range of core, like, you know, as I said, from just a lifestyle or to a color or just a fad, something that, you know, is just a trend, and those all of a sudden become a core. And then everything that you're looking for in that core just circles around whatever that trend is or that lifestyle is. And people are making gobs of money selling things on these,
oh,
as you well know.
Yes. And again, these cores that you were talking about, very popular, and that's just another part of this, you know, this different aesthetics that have popped up. But now it's like academia, somebody who's going to college, you know, that involves looking smart like a college student and maybe hanging out in libraries and lecture halls. I mean, some of these have a whole lifestyle around it. You know, in academia, you could go dark academia, which is, you know, more like going to college at Harvard or Princeton or one of the old school East Coast schools, where you may have
very buttoned down, very, very prim and proper. Yeah.
And then you'll have like light academia, which would be more like, I'm the college student going to museums and art galleries in Europe during the spring and summertime, but I still look smart. There's granny core. You know, we always think about how this stuff skews to younger, but there's also, and some younger are actually doing granny core, but granny core, you have West Coast granny core. What is what your granny would be wearing on the West Coast? You have Southeast granny core, which would be what is, you know, granny's wearing in Florida or North and South Carolina.
Florida granny core too, which is its own aesthetic. You know, what they're wearing there, what they wear in Florida versus what they're wearing in New York are two different things. And
right.
So you've got those different kinds. So what it really does too, Andy, is it really looks at how you can be, really circles around how you can be unique and what it is you want to wear and how you could really find it anywhere online. You might, you know, when you're talking about the consignment shops, you know, your traffic into a consignment shop was really your neighborhood and maybe a, you know, 5 to 10 mile radius around. But your traffic going onto a website, as you mentioned, could be global, and you could, you know, and you can find anything you want pretty much online right now, which has its drawbacks, but it's, you know, it's really opening up the world of retail in a different way. And I think we're going to see that with retail sales going forward, particularly as inflation you know, inflation's ebbed a little bit, but not enough to, you know, to have people comfortable out there spending money as we've seen lately. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of this stuff pop up.
Yeah, you talk about the resale market compared to just traditional retailers. I saw a statistic not too long ago. The resale market is growing at least 10 times faster than the traditional retail market. So that's eye-popping.
Let's qualify that, though, because it is going to grow at a lot faster just because
it's smaller, though. Yes, it is.
Versus, yeah.
Right.
Grow in bigger percentage jumps. But
11 times is pretty substantial, though. I mean, it is a real deal.
Yeah, yeah. But the other part of this, too, is that the retailers, you know, national and international retailers, they're not sitting back and letting this happen. They're doing their own types of, gently used. You see Nike doing that. You see Lululemon doing that, where they're like, wait, you want to come in and you have an old T-shirt or an old sweatshirt that you don't want to wear anymore. Well, come into our store. We'll give you a credit for it. And we'll take it back, and then you can go and buy new whatever you want. So, you know, that's an ingenious way of
and some of them actually have their own platforms that then they would resell what they're getting from you. So they've converted you to a new item, and they've given you a deal or some money towards that item. But then taking that item that you've exchanged, a lot of them have platforms, and then they move it, you know, on to somebody else. So it's a sustainable way for clothing, because that's the big factor that a lot of people don't think about. The waste of clothing is unbelievable. And it's even different now than before, because a lot of the stuff is made that fast fashion, which is made out of sheen and plastic. It piles up pretty quickly in landfills. And in a lot of cases, I've even seen documentaries where they ship a lot of our clothing waste overseas to countries in Africa that then have to sit on it. So there's an environmental angle to this, and it is addressing that, you know, the waste that we are seeing in fast fashion. Another aspect of this, and I'm sure you've found this, Jennifer, vintage clothing seems to be a lot higher quality. And I think that's a factor, too. You can go back and get some vintage clothing that's still in really good shape that is really high quality that you just don't see nowadays in a lot of the department stores. And I think that's a factor, too.
A lot of it is just to define what vintage is. And, you know, vintage is, something that is maybe from the 80s or the 90s with, like an Adrian Vittadini or even, a Ralph Lauren or something from the 80s or the 90s. I mean, his aesthetic has stayed relatively the same all this time, but you can still find some vintage stuff from there that, you know, that the quality of that vintage is high. It's not like it's going to be a Zara, T-shirt. It's going to be a higher produced product. And so you're going to have some really, you can get some really good deals in terms of what they would cost today versus what you're paying. But, you know, they're still going to cost you. They're not going to be cheap.
You know, it's funny. You talk about vintage, a lot of stuff. You're talking late 80s, 90s. But the thing that kind of concerns me, Jennifer, is I hear a lot of young people say Y2K is vintage. Really? But it is. And Y2K is a core, and it's very popular right now. And it's funny when you hear somebody in their 20s say, yeah, I just picked up a vintage item. I'm like, oh, really cool. Yeah, it's Y2K. It's totally vintage. Thoughts?
I know. And that was part of why I would say define vintage. I mean, vintage is 20 years. Is vintage, is that vintage? Or is the vintage, 30 or 40 years or 50 years, So that's the funny thing. Sometimes, it's the difference between antique and vintage. What's antique? How long is an item aged to be an antique? How long is an item aged to be a vintage?
A lot of people are making a lot of money at this, and they're doing it through these various platforms. My favorite platform to sell on is Poshmark, but I also play around with Mercari and Depop, and we can talk about some of the different platforms. Let's start with Posh, because that's one of the big ones. It's my favorite, and I got to tell
one
you...
One of the ones that's been around the longest, too.
Yes, I mean, yes, it has. It has, and a great selection of items. And the one thing that I like about Poshmark, it's one of those platforms that really works well with the seller. They kind of got your back, and I do like that. They take a little bit more. They take 20%. Some of the other platforms aren't that high as far as, you know, taking a cut from the seller. But they have your back, and if you're somebody who does a lot of, you're a seller who does a lot of business with them, if somebody comes with to you and says, hey, you know, this, you know, and it's kind of a shaky claim, they'll always or almost always back the seller. So I like that. Posh, and it's really interesting how Poshmark has changed, because during the heart of the pandemic, luxury was just, I'm talking high-end luxury. You know, everybody had money, no place to go, wanted to treat themselves, and we luxury and high-end brands were just flying off the shelves. And that was just, on fire. And again, you know, if somebody wanted to get rid of an item, you know, they could capture some of that, you know, that investment back and move it on to somebody else, and then they can use it. And the nice thing is, a lot of these really good items, if you have it and you use it for a while, then you too can then turn it and put it back. Turn it around as well. Now, we've seen a shift, especially on Poshmark. I've seen a shift away from luxury into more affordable items over the last year. So it's interesting how during the pandemic and up until maybe about a year ago, it was all, I mean, luxury was just flying off the shelves and you were getting a lot of really good prices. I think this change into, you know, solid mall brands, you know, being attractive, not nearly as expensive. I think that's an indication of where the economy is. But yeah, go ahead, weigh in on that.
But I was going to say let's remember the circumstances too. I mean, one, people had money, they were at home, they had time, and then retail stores were closed. So, you know, all of those factors helped fuel that kind of fire that we saw with all of that. And, you know, and when you've got some money to spend and you've always wanted a Gucci belt and you can find it on a Poshmark for, you know, relatively cheap, yeah, you'd pick that up. You'd go pick that up, and, you know, maybe you're not going to wear it in 2020 or even 2021, but you can wear it now. And so I think that was what fueled a lot of that. But I think what will keep this business alive is this whole sustainability concept. And then the fact that as the business grows and as people become more familiar and more comfortable, I'm personally not comfortable buying used clothes, but my daughter is very comfortable doing it. But, you know, I personally am not. So it's just like,
I agree with
different
you.
Generation.
Yeah, it is generational. And then the other thing for me is if it's the right item, I would. And I'm talking maybe shoes, outerwear.
Or purse.
So it kind of varies. Now, some people, you know, will wear or buy anything, you know, any type of item. So you do see that. And then a lot of these things, too, are not just they've never been worn. There's a ton of stuff out there that's new with tags, and they source it in a variety of ways. You bought something, you got a gift, you never wore it. Maybe you gained weight.
That's a great, great thing for you to bring up. I'm not an excessive clothes wearer. I mean, I love clothes like every other woman I know, but I have clothes in my closet that still have tags on it. And I belittle myself for allowing that to happen. But yeah, and now maybe they don't fit me, or maybe I just don't like it anymore, or whatever. And yeah, if I can go back and sell that, and at least not feel bad about losing money and contributing to to the demise of the environment, then I'm going to go ahead and do that. But again, and this is the thing I keep wanting to mention about the, during the pandemic, people had time. And I don't necessarily have time to go through my closet, pull out the stuff, take pictures of it, put a pricing in, you know, track down a Poshmark or whatever and try to do that. I don't necessarily have the time to do that right now, but during and the pandemic, people had lots of time.
Yes, and then the other thing I've found is with Poshmark, I mean, you can unload your closet and sell, and it's very hobby, but if you get really aggressive, there's a whole infrastructure to this. You know, if mm-hmm. you're doing a lot of it, and that's what I found with Poshmark and my side business outside the radio station is, you know, I have a whole infrastructure now. I mean, an inventory built up, so it can go from hobby where you have one or two items that, you know, you want to sell, and maybe there's something on Posh you want to buy, to all the way to me where, you know, I have multiple sources. I buy retail liquidation. I buy retail pallet liquidation. I have, I do, you'll like this. I do online arbitrage through some of the platforms that I actually trade on. If it's the right item and it's going for nothing on Poshmark, I will be happy, or Mercari or one of these other things, I'll be happy to buy that. And then, as soon as I get it, relist it as well. So
do you have a garage full of things, or?
I have a pretty extensive area that holds a pretty massive inventory. Because, you know, I'm able to source stuff through resale shops, consignment shops, Goodwill. Like I said, even retail arbitrage in the right situation.
Yeah. This is not a hobby for you, Andy.
No. It's definitely, yeah, it's a side business that makes, that generates some pretty good money. And I'll give you an example. But let's take a quick break first. Be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. I would totally appreciate the solid there. Subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Back with Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business writer. She covers retail and commercial real estate. And as we were going into break, I had an example. So here you go. This example will kind of show you how it all works. There is a consignment shop that I do business with. And the lady who runs the consignment shop had a pair of Tory Burch boots. Real nice boots. I mean, these things would go for $400 or $500. Okay. Now, they were a very small size. I think they were like size 5, which is really small for women, size 5 or 6.
A small population. That's
right.
Buyers.
Yeah. Now, that consignment shop, what's the chance of somebody actually going in there who has that foot size, who wants a pair of Tory Burch boots, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so they had been in the shop for a long time. You know, really nice. These would be, if you bought them brand new, they're black Tory Burch boots, size 5. And they had been in there for months. And I went and got a good price. Okay. Let's just say, you know, I bought them for $35. Okay. And I was able to, you know, and they'd been sitting in that consignment shop. She's like, can you know, I can get rid of these. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you $35 for them. I went ahead and posted them on Poshmark. Well, that person out there, there was a lady somewhere, I can't remember, somewhere in the, I want to say in California, if I recall correctly. And there was a woman out there who had, you know, small feet, you know, that fit that size. And she gave me, let's call it 120 for those Tory Burch boots.
Talk about a
boots,
profit margin
right?
on that, baby.
So then Poshmark takes 20%. So, you know, they're going to take their cut, which, you know, let's, you know, I'll pull out a calculator here. So I sold them on the Poshmark platform for $120. Now Poshmark takes 20%, so that's $24. So 120 minus 24. So Poshmark's giving me 96 back. And then I was able to, you know, source them for 35. So for that transaction, it was 60, I made six, you know, basically $61, $60, we'll call it. So they
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they sit in a consignment store for months. The consignment store owner couldn't get rid of them. I said, hey, you know, I'll take them off your hands right now. Posted those exact boots on Poshmark. And so somebody got, so the person in the consignment store got rid of their stock and was able to unload it. I was able to sell it. The person I sold them to was able to get a great deal, still paid $120 for something that would normally cost her $400 or $500 to go buy. And Poshmark gets their taste. Everybody wins here.
Everybody does win. Were they in good shape?
They were in pretty decent shape. They were not new, but pretty darn close. I would say gently used, a great pre-loved condition. And so everybody wins. The consignment store, she was glad to get rid of the boots. I was able to make my cut. Posh was going to get their cut. The lady who bought them, she's got a great pair of boots. And you know what? Maybe she'll wear them for a year or two, and maybe they're her favorite boots, and she'll hold on to them, or maybe she'll turn them around and resell them. And again, a new pair of boots didn't have to be produced. And, you know, you can see how this works. Now, you had a question, and so go ahead.
Well, let me just say this, because this points to what we were talking about earlier, and that's that, you know, the traffic in the consignment store was maybe, you know, a 5 to 10 mile radius from where it was. The traffic on your Poshmark site is, you know, the
whole United States. Yeah, pretty much the United States. I mean, there's Poshmark in Canada and some other places, which is for, yes, it's the whole country that has the app.
So let me ask you this, because you're more, you know, you're into the actual, you know, buying and selling on there than I am. 20% seems like a big chunk of change Poshmark asks you for.
Yes.
Is that normal?
It's one of the more expensive ones, but I actually don't mind paying a little bit more, because Poshmark is really, really good about standing by their sellers. And I've had very, very, if somebody has a problem, I'll refund them, take it back, and, you know, within reason. But that's the one thing, you know, we don't have to worry about chasing people down. That's the problem with eBay. There can be problems with payments. That happened, you know, with Poshmark, you sell it and there's money in an account set aside, and you get it out to them, and as soon as they receive it, the item, you know, it's in your account. So it's 20%'s a little, it seems pricey, but it's their platform. They're getting those Tory Burch boots in all those different people's, you know, on their phones. So I think it's very fair. It is expensive, you know. I think some other platforms are more, like, you know, eBay is going to be cheaper. Depop's a little cheaper. But again, getting your payment and that kind of thing. I've found that, and I do a bulk of my transactions on Poshmark as a reseller, and I found that Poshmark is the best as far as, you know, being a reseller and having that company behind you and understanding, hey, we do thousands of transactions with this account. And somebody says that, you know, somebody has a problem. And I haven't had very many problems at all. And if it's an honest mistake, I get it. But it's a really nice thing about how they handle business. And it's worth just alleviating the hassle. Plus, the other thing with Poshmark, the buyer pays for the shipping. That's a big factor too. And Poshmark has a deal with the post office, so it's the shipping rate's a flat $8. And they're really, really good. So I found, you know, yes, Poshmark, the 20% is a little higher than maybe some of their some of the other platforms, but just the way doing business with them is so easy, and I've had virtually no hassle with returns, not getting payments. So you're paying
for that,
right?
Yeah.
And it's well worth it. It's well worth it,
yeah,
for sure. You know, my example with the Tory Burch boots is just that's kind of how it works, and you can kind of see how everybody kind of wins. Now, there's people who are opening up Posh Depop for a hobby, you know, they go into their closet. That's where a lot of younger folks. We talked about the cores, a lot more core stuff, and it skews a little bit younger on Depop. Each platform's a little bit different as well. eBay, I personally don't do eBay because I've heard of the nightmare stories and waiting for payment and having stuff being shipped back, and you know, when somebody ships something back, they aren't even returning the item in the same condition.
Yeah.
That's been on eBay. That's been on other platforms. Never on Poshmark. So, you know, I found that paying a couple extra percentage points on the transactions, well worth it to have that backing and to have a platform do it so well.
Do you actually buy stuff from Poshmark too?
Yeah, I do. That's, you know, when I was talking about online arbitrage.
If it's the right thing,
usually it's really high end. I mean, the cheaper stuff, there's just not that big of an arbitrage. But if I see an item that's listed for $100 or $150 and it's something that I know I can eventually unload for $400 or $500, I'll do it. I'll do it all day. Maybe somebody's had it in their closet, that's what they call it on Poshmark. Maybe they've had an item in their closet, it's high end, and for some reason they just haven't found a buyer. Hey, I'll be the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, because I'm active, my closet gets into a lot more Poshmark users than somebody who is just starting off as well. I started with some, you know, retail arbitrage, where if I found like a killer deal somewhere, you know, and I'm like, wow, I can move that. Then I started with that. And then I built up consignment shops that I go to. I've gone to Goodwills. And then I started actually playing the retail liquidation game. Also, in that retail liquidation, buying pallets. So there are a million different ways that I source it. And then, you know, I've actually also occasionally, you know, doing the sustainability stuff. And there are some items that I've bought that resale that are part of my private collection that I will then eventually, you know, if I want to go with a different style, maybe, I actually, being in the game, I have access to a lot of really nice clothing. So, you know, as I get a new piece, I might say, yeah, I probably won't wear this. And I'll, you know, throw that back out there and resell it from my private collection. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways of sourcing it. The one thing with Poshmark also, just a little hint for people who are thinking about getting into it, being consistent on the platform too. I found that if you're in this game, you gotta list consistently. You gotta constantly grow that closet. But then the advantage of that is they put my, you know, the clothing that I sell in a lot of people's feeds. So, you know, being active is a big part of it as well. Posting stuff daily. I mean, there is a game to this. And, you know, but it's very profitable. You know, it's a lot of work, But, you know, there's a lot of good things that go with this, the sustainability, having access to great clothing. Mm-hmm. Like I said,
you've got some great perks with that.
Yeah, there's a ton of great perks. Plus, you make good money. And if you know what to look for, there's something there.
And a lot of that is just doing it and being in the middle of it. I mean, it's one thing for my daughter and some of her friends to jump on Poshmark once in a while and, you know, and buy a vintage, you know, Gucci belt or something. It's another thing for you to be, you know, making a side business of this where you're actually getting relationships with, you know, other consignment stores or being able to buy these flats and having relationships there and even creating relationships with the customers. I'm sure you're at a point of too.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, on the Poshmark app, and I know we keep talking about Posh, but that's what I know the most about. And I do a ton of business on there. Once the buyer receives the item, they, you know, they can give, there's a 5-star rating or they can write a love note. And, you know, my whole thing is getting those 5-star ratings. I always, for the most part, on a lot of my posts, I undersell and over-deliver. You know what I'm saying? That's another part. A big part of this is I want, from my standpoint, I want that person to be really happy with what they bought. So yeah. I'm very selective. I know some resellers, they'll buy anything. I am very selective. I make sure my stuff, even if it is been previously used in near mint condition, or as I would say, great pre-loved condition. So that's another part of it too. Some people try to, like, you know, push stuff by and they don't, if there's any kind of flaw on there, I'm taking a big picture of that and putting it in the post. And I just think doing right by your customers, because yes, I do have repeat buyers who will come to my closet just because they know that whatever they get from there is not going to have stains. There's not going to be some hidden mark. And I think that full transparency from the seller side is a big help, because if you burn somebody, it gets out there. And a lot of times that's why I like just having the very, very best stuff in great condition. And I that's why I'm very selective. A lot of people would be, oh, you know, this is a great brand. You know, I'll go ahead and put it up there. Well, it's like, well, yeah, there's a little stain there. And, you know, you have to disclose that. By the way, I just want to say, I just sold something on Posh. I got an alert here. and this actually skews a little bit older. I just sold a Soft Surroundings chiffon blouse. Okay. I got that thing for about $6-7. I sold it for $29. So
look at that. Yeah. So your profit margins are fat. Although I'm sure you're working your tail off.
Yeah. And you know, so you make, you know, I after the Posh fee and you know, it's like 23, I bought 6, so I made $17. I think that a lot of items, I always try to make a minimum of 20, because it does, you know, there is an effort behind it. So, but Soft Surroundings, that skews a little bit older.
Sure does.
Yeah.
And maybe then we are seeing, you know, an older generation start to get more comfortable with it too. I mean, that's part of the thing I mentioned earlier, that as we see people get more comfortable doing it and more familiar with how to do it, we might, you know, we can expect to see this explode. We already know it is exploding and it will continue to. I've seen some numbers that talk about sales like $70 billion in the next 2-3 years. And right now that's like almost double what they're at now. So you can, this has a long way to go. There's a long life ahead of this.
I mean, by the way, you know, that transaction I was just talking about, the person who I just sold that Soft Surroundings piece to, they got a good deal. That stuff's expensive in the stores. And this was in really good conditions, you know, in really good condition. They paid $29 and then, you know, they're going to pay another 8. So what is it, like 37? $37 for a Soft Surroundings piece that's in really great condition. It was a really nice aqua blue, some beading on it. For $30 delivered to your house, or $37 delivered to your house. So, you know, I was able to make my cut, and that person got a really good deal. That's a good deal. I wouldn't even normally. I had that. a little bit higher, I was just like, yeah, I'll move it. I find that, you know, on the Poshmark app, sometimes just moving product helps lead to more sales. You know, the algorithms, yeah, you know, on these sites, you got to play that game as well. You know, having listings, if somebody gives you an offer, working with them and closing a deal, because people can make offers too on items. You know, if I saw something that I wanted on the Poshmark platform, say it's $59.99, you know, I think it's overpriced. Well, maybe I'll offer the person, I'll give you $25. And then they can counter, or, you know, so it's fun. It's fun. And, yeah, you know, it's a cool, for a lot of people who get into this, started off as a little bit of a hobby. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm making.
And now you got a business.
Yeah, I got a side business that's part-time. And then, again, I have access to all kinds of luxury goods. Because, you know, as you're buying all this stuff, you find stuff for yourself as well. So it's a really, really fun thing to be in. And like, you can either just start as a hobby, and then as you are in this, you know what sells, you get your own data. It's really a great thing. And a full disclosure, I make a lot of money on the side doing this. You know, I'm in a whole bunch of other things. You know, we've always talked about me being on the Gains podcast, a degenerate gambler, a degenerate stock player, you know. I like risk, you know, I'm crypto and NFTs, and this is just another side business, and it's amazing, because what I have found is, for the most part, every dollar that I'm able to put in, it averages out where $4 come back on the other end.
So, I'd be afraid that I'd want to keep everything.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the nice thing, is you can keep stuff, and then, you know, after a while, yeah, hey, you just got something else that you like even better, then you can unload that. So there's a lot to it. I mean, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I feel like I've talked a lot about my business. What is your takeaway, Jennifer, from all of this? I mean, this has been an interesting conversation. What's your takeaway from our conversation today on the Gains podcast?
Well, just partially what we talked about, and that is that this is, you know, there's a long life ahead of this. This isn't going to slow down. I mean, we haven't even talked about baby clothes, and that's its own, you know, its own core, I guess, too. But, you know, that this has a lot of years on it. And because we have so many major retailers getting into it as well, we're going to see this whole secondhand gently used, or as you say, lovingly used, or used with love. We're going to see this just explode into, you know, in the next 10 years, it's just going to be another way we buy clothes. As I said earlier, I'm not comfortable buying used clothes, but who knows how I might feel, you know, 5 years from now or 10 years from now when everyone else is doing it. I'll probably jump on the bandwagon.
And I got to tell you, Jennifer, you're not going to be alone on that bandwagon. All right. Big thanks to Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business writer. She covers retail and commercial real estate. And hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.